Bible as to what that means. What kind of sign do we have in Revelation? Well, in Revelation 12, we have the words, "A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven." Now, look at it. You can see there a woman with a crown on her head. She is pregnant, and she's standing on the moon. Wow. And here is a dragon, and this dragon has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Now, I didn't say Revelation was going to be easy, but we're going to try and work these things out in a way that here at Rosedale we can understand signs and symbols. Now, as I was preparing this talk, I was sitting on a boat travelling down Lake Manapouri, and I saw some signs and symbols, and I thought, I'll take photographs of these because they will illustrate my talk. So there's a sign or a symbol. What does it mean, please, John Fenton? Okay. Tim Lone. It's past John's intelligence. Toilets. Does it mean male and female go to the same toilet, or you've got separate toilets inside the door? That's interpretation, you see. That's like Revelation. You see something, but you've got to get to the bottom of it, all right? So that's what we're meaning. Oh. Wrong statement. There's another sign on the boat. What does it mean, please?
Oh, it's a
men's toilet. Anyone tell me, what does that mean? Muster station. Thank you very much. You from Bluff. Okay, that's great. Muster station. If the boat sinks, all assemble here. Here's another sign. Yes, sir.
Fire extinguisher.
You're on the ball. Yes, good for you. Fire extinguisher. That's easy. What about that one? Oh, they're not all easy. What's that one? Where's this electrician? What's this one?
Dodgy wire.
It is not dodgy wiring. It is. Don't use this fire extinguisher on electrical connections. Oh, isn't that good? But see, I had to explain it. All right. Now, here are some of the events that the Bible says in Revelation and other places are going to take place. It's given to Jesus Christ, and God has given it to him, and it's now to his servants, and these things are soon to take place, meaning the period in which they're going to happen has already. Things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you are a Christian believer here today, at some stage you're going to stand before the throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the judge, and he is going to evaluate your life and reward you accordingly. Now, that event should change your life. As you go away and think about it, is my life such that I can stand before the Lord right now? That's the question. You've got to get up to heaven before this happens. And at Rosedale here, we believe there's going to be a rapture when the Christians are taken from this earth and they're ushered into glory to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it can happen at any time. I don't want to be difficult here, but at Rosedale, the elders and our doctrine teaches a pre-tribulation rapture, meaning that before you have the tribulation period, the church has gone and the judgment will take place, and then the Lord will come back to earth and the church will be with him. Now, I realise not every person studying the Bible believes that quite. But that is the one that we feel is most appropriate to the word of God, and that is what we teach here at Rosedale. Then on earth, there's going to be the Great Tribulation. This is when there is going to be fearsome troubles on earth. It's when 666 is going to be used, and you will not be able to buy or sell unless you've got the devil's mark on your head. That's scary. But I won't be there, because I will be taken away in the rapture, as most of you will be as well. But on earth, that's going to happen. On earth is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's when the Jewish people in Israel comes under huge persecution. And you can read about that in Jeremiah chapter 30. And then the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Now that's a bit of a futuristic drawing and some futuristic buildings. No worry. At some stage he's going to return, now or in the future. And the Bible in Revelation 1:7, which we're looking at today, said he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. And so even this week people have been coming to me and showing me their iPods and their new phones, how you can just, wherever you are, flick your phone and you can see anywhere all around the world. And they're saying, there we are. The Lord's coming must be near, because all of us with phones could see him at once. Every eye will see him. I believe the coming of the Lord will be much more marvellous than iPods and phones. But it's interesting that these things make people think, you see. Every eye, anyway, is going to see him coming as he comes in the clouds of heaven. And when he comes, he is going to reign. Now put an hourglass there, you know, one of those things that tell the time. And it's halfway through, or three quarters of the way through, and it's connected to earth. So when Jesus comes as king, he is going to reign for 1,000 years. That will be a great time. That is 1,000 years of peace on earth when Jesus Christ is reigning as king. So there's some of the events that are going to take place. And at the end of that, the Bible says, or Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. And you can see how this picture has gone kind of from darkness on this side to everything changed and new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it'll be just a great time to be alive. Well, that's a brief overview of events that might change people's thinking. Now, I was sitting down the back there with Glenys Carson last Sunday, and she said to me, Paul, why can't someone teach about all the signs that are around about the world that indicate we're in the last days? Well, there's no time to teach you about that today, but I can give you a quick list, you see. In Matthew 24, the disciples said to Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. Sign one. For many will come as antichrists. I put that as one. In America today, there are almost 2,000 men who've registered as the antichrist. Right, they have. It's real. And that's happening right now. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars. More now than ever before. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Doug, I think you spoke about that this morning. Not just in the Old Testament, but look what's happening in Egypt and the Middle East right now. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Well, we know about that, don't we? Many Christians will be put to death. I got a note this morning that in the last year, apparently some 300,000 people who are Christians have been put to death. And the number is rising every day. And the love of many will go cold. And someone in our church today referred to that. Tim, did you? In Revelation. Do you realise that we have so much talent in this church that we've got enough leadership to staff 3 or 4 churches? You'll be struggling to get leaders. Why? I think because the love of many has grown cold. And other things have crept in upon us, and we're conforming to the world more than to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, whoops, that's Dean's tick. I didn't know how to do a tick. So I called Dean yesterday and I said, Dean, how do I make a big tick? So he showed me how to do it, and there I put a big, big red tick. Why? Because all those things are going on now, and they are growing in intensity, you see? So it should be a lesson for us. Now, as you look at Revelation 1:1-3, if you've got your notes, you can put some little names in here, because this will help us to understand who is actually doing the speaking in this particular case. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the top line is, which God gave him. So this revelation comes from heaven, and it came to Jesus, who made it known by sending his angel to John, and John wrote it down, and so we have it today. That's a great sequence. You see, the book of Revelation, which we've ignored for so long, comes from God through Jesus to the angel, to John, and then to us. We need to take notice of it. And now, the title of the talk: do you want a blessing from the Lord? Verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because their time is near. So if you're a reader of Revelation, the Bible says you're going to be blessed. If you're listening to me today and you haven't fallen asleep and started doodling on paper or playing with your cell phone, you will be hearing what I'm saying and you'll be blessed. But more than that, if you obey what's being told to you, you're going to get a greater blessing, because the time is near. Now, there's something special about the blessing. We're in the last days, and this is what is normally understood by a blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. He will receive a crown of life that God has promised. What we really understand is the person who obeys the Beatitudes can be happy, they can be contented, they can be bursting with praise, they can be full of the joy of the Lord. That is not quite what the word blessed means in Revelation, I find. The word means, and special group of Greek words I understand, people in Revelation who are blessed will be given a special ability to understand the future and shown the right pathways ahead. Now, if what I've shown you ahead makes you a wee bit scared, the Bible promises that if you get stuck into the book of Revelation, you'll be blessed in the sense that God will show you the way ahead. Have you got confusion in your life? The promise is, read Revelation and God will help you get that cleared up. That's why we sang that hymn a minute ago. You see? Does it start to make sense now? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. God's got all the resources to help us work our way through sometimes a pretty complicated life situation. So here we go on now, and we find the next step in Revelation. It's written by John to the seven churches of Asia. So that's a satellite picture there. Seem to have lost my pointer. There it goes. And there is Turkey there. And there are the seven churches that were there in the New Testament days: Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, and Laodicea. And so he was writing to those churches. Now, what was said? Grace and peace to you from him who is and was and is to come. Well, that's only one person, and that's God the Father, who is and was and is to come. And he's the Old Testament Yahweh, who called himself I Am, ever present. So we're getting a particularly slant of the importance of these words. And it's also from Jesus, as we've looked. And it said he is the faithful witness, which means his words are true, and he's the firstborn from the dead. Now forgive me, but I've got to go back to Israel. As David said last week, and you go into the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's quite dark in there, and you turn around to go out, and there on the door are these words, he is not here, for he is risen. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's writing it. That's why he's got some authority. And he's the ruler of the kings of the earth, meaning he's going to have the principal role in the millennium time. And the letter is also from the seven spirits before the throne. Now, in Isaiah, we have a reference to the coming Holy Spirit. And it's so interesting that seven is the key number, seven spirits before the throne. And in Isaiah, we read about the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear. There is the complete package of the Holy Spirit, who is available to indwell us today. And then we find it's from him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. That's our worship service this morning. And he's made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. So this morning we realize we're saved from our sin by the blood of Jesus, and he wants us all to be priests, to serve him in this world in which we live. And so let's pop this back on again. He's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Now look at this next bit. Even those who pierced him. And so there is a rather gruesome picture of the soldier with his spear about to pierce the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, even those who pierced him will have to stand up and be counted, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. No one is going to escape confronting God and getting away with what they've done on earth. And then the Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. And we read again who was, is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega are the first letters of the Greek alphabet. So I want you to call out and say for me the first five letters all together. Go. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. You know, you want to learn this, you know, get it right. Right down to Omega. So here's the completeness of the alphabet, you see. And that describes God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is complete. Now, we're going to have a blessing for Dad Chris. Would you come out here, please? Chris Romero. He's already had a blessing today as he's come out here as a dad, and Neville has prayed for him. Now, he's going to read from God's Word, Revelation 5, 9 to 18. And you may follow it. Well, Revelation 1, I'm sorry, isn't it?
Revelation 1.
Don't get scared, Neville. How is he going to get a blessing? Because he's reading aloud from Revelation. And you're going to get a blessing because you're here. And then quickly at the end, I'll summarize some of the things that he has said. Thank you, Chris. Revelation 1, it is. Verse
9 to 18.
9 to 18.
I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Thank you very much for that clear reading. So let's just go on and find out what's going on here. John is on the Isle of Patmos. And the Isle of Patmos, you can see a P. Oh, I think I've run out of battery. Oh, there we are, right there. Which gives you some idea as to where the island is. And there is a modern day picture of it. It's not a little wee squinty island, as I kind of thought it was a rocky island with sea all around it. It's over half the size of Stewart Island, and today it's a thriving commercial, tourist and fishing port and island. Still there. And up on the top of the hill you can see some old buildings. One of the old buildings up there is a monastery. And in the monastery wall there is an old picture of John there, and he's holding a manuscript. Don't know what the words say, but all through that monastery are pictures illustrating Revelation. And John, of course, was told to write down what he heard, so he wrote it on the spot. And then, as Chris read to us, and this is in your notes, and you can add to it if you want to, he read about this astounding vision in verses 9 to 18. Now, the one in the middle there, standing, I'm sorry, my thing has just about run dry, it looks like. Anyway, the one there is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says, as you read further, he is the one who rose from the dead. He was alive, he was dead, and is alive forevermore. So that's the first thing. It is Jesus. You see, he is dressed in robes. They are priestly robes. He's a priest. So this is interpreting the parable and the sign. You'll find his white hair and a white beard, which signifies wisdom and purity. You'll find that he has gold on various parts of his body, indicating from scripture that he is all-knowing. You'll find that he has bronze feet, which in scripture indicates a person can be a judge. You'll see coming out of his mouth is a sharp two-edged sword, and he cries out with a loud voice like a loud river. He is a communicator to the world. And who is he communicating to in this instance? To the seven churches and to the angels. Now, how do we know that he's communicating to the seven churches and to the angels? Well, if you look down at verse 20, you get the answer, which you often do in Revelation. The seven stars, which are being held in his hand there, are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So Revelation answers itself if you read and study it sufficiently. And John said, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, now look at these comforting words. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now, if you're a Christian today, they're comforting words. If you're not a Christian, they are challenging words, because they challenge everyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness that he offers and join in this group of Christians who will be with him forever and ever. And so, as kind of a summary, here is a chart which I think I have given you. We are in the church age right now, and there are heaps and heaps of signs that point to the future events and the last days and the coming of the Lord. The rapture can take place at any time, and we'll be rewarded in heaven according to what we've done on earth, and then we will join in the marriage of the Lamb when the church and the bride of Christ meet together. And following that, the Lord will return to earth in the clouds, and the believers, I believe, will be with him. And we will reign on earth for 1,000 years. In the meantime, on earth will be this cluster of terrible events that I have tried to depict to you in Revelation. So Revelation tells us about the present church age, the 7 tribulation years, and the future millennial kingdom. There is the Christchurch earthquake, and I mentioned at the start that events change priorities. In yesterday's paper, there was a lady who was in the earthquake and has changed her priority. She sold her house, or at least she's got out of it, and she's gone away into the country, and she's taken a little hut, a little shed, and she's going to live there after the earthquake, scared stiff to go back to her home. An event has changed her priorities. And here's the challenge. We're in the last days. I've shown you some of the events. What's it going to do to your life from today on? So at the back of your notes, I've just put a little taking stock section, which you can do, and you can keep it to yourself, or you can discuss it with us. But it says, in view of the coming events that will certainly take place, what can I do to so order my life that my priorities are in line with God's will for me? That's a wee challenge for you to take home. Next week, Bernie is coming, and he's going to talk about the 7 churches. And then Peter follows, I think that's correct. And then John Fenton follows, and then Dean follows. And we need to pray for these men for God-given ability for them to be able to interpret Revelation and explain it to us. Thank you for listening so well. Not an easy session. Let's pray. Father, we want to give thanks for the great time we've shared as a church here today. We think of the worship and the fellowship at the commencement. We think of the Lord's table when we've been reminded afresh of Jesus Christ, and now of your final book in the Word of God. And we just pray that you'll help us to understand it and be blessed, and seek to alter the priorities in our lives so we can serve you better. We commit the evening tea to you, especially praying for Kate and her family, and for real time of fellowship and blessing. We give thanks for the refreshments we can now enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen.